Welcome. This is the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast with host Rob Giannino, where we have great conversation with really awesome experts from within the fly fishing community. You see, the fly fishing lifestyle is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us. Check out flyfishingjourneys.com for more podcasts, journal-style blog posts, and a link to our social media community. And please subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
Thanks, Josh. So here are the day two mini podcast from the International Fly Tackle Dealer Show, IFTD. This was a really fun day because I was able to spend some time with some companies and people that I really love. First, I spoke with Casey Rolig of Buff USA. I wanted to speak with Casey and Buff because I just love their products. From their head and neckwear to their fish caps, and basically the entire line is super cool as both function and style. When I'm on the water, I always have at least one, maybe multiple Buff products on. Then I sat down with Keith Rose Innes of the Alphonse Fishing Company. Wow, the ultimate destination, the Seychelles, and with none other than the experts in the atolls, Keith and his team at Alphonse Fishing. When it comes to giant trevally, permit, bonefish, milkfish, and all the other amazing species in the Seychelles, it was so fun to talk to Keith and even plan on how I could make my ultimate bucket list trip happen. Next, I spoke with Ignis Lutkis of Deeper Sonar. This is an absolutely ingenious product, a complete sonar depth finder and fish finder that's the size of a small sphere that fits in the size of your hand. With the incredible GPS technology that links the Deeper to your smartphone or tablet through the Deeper app. Having tested and loving my own Deeper sonar, I had to get this product in the hands of our listeners. I finished the day with Nick Roberts of the Bonefish Tarpon Trust. I had been meaning to become a member, so when they had a booth at the show, I gladly signed up, and I got a really cool BTT Sage hat with the membership. Nick shares with us about the amazing work the Bonefish Tarpon Trust is doing on habitat protection, conservation, and education. These projects are so crucial right now, especially at this vital time. We're going to kick off our day two at the IFTD podcast right after the short 30-second announcement from the Fly Fishing Show.
The Fly Fishing Show produces the world's largest consumer fly fishing events. The show has hundreds of exhibitors on the show floor and dozens of free seminars, fly tying demos, and programs. This is the only place you can get your hands on nearly every fly fishing product in the world at the same time as booking the next fly fishing location on your bucket list. Talk to the pros and test gear on our casting ponds. Get more information about the show's location and schedule at flyfishingshow.com. The Fly Fishing Show, where fly fishing is not part of the show. It is the show.
Okay, great. This is Rob with Fly Fishing Journeys, and I'm so excited to be here with Buff, with Casey Rolig, Media Marketing Manager with Buff. And love the product, Casey. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed using it. Got addicted to it when I started steelhead fishing and I needed to kind of layer up in the cold, and then found out how much I enjoyed using the Buff. It seems to be a big thing now where you're putting the Buff over your face, over your nose to get those gangster pictures, but thank you for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So you're here at IFTD and ICAST. What is your main role for this type of show?
Yeah, so we're here, it's July 2018 to represent our Spring 19 product line. New for this year is a cooling fabric called CoolNet UV Plus that's going to replace our UV multifunctional headwear. We've got a new line of gloves, working with a bunch of great artists, and our hats and our multifunctional headwear.
Yeah, so I was checking a look at that CoolNet. That's a really neat new product. It's super lightweight, but yet can keep you protected from the sun. And it's wicking. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the CoolNet?
Yeah, so it's a polyester microfiber. We've been using that material in our multifunctional headwear for years, since 1992, when we invented this category. CoolNet is an expansion on the UV line, and it's a cooling fabric. It's a mix between the way that the weave is made up. Mm. There's a coating applied after the fact called Hi-Q that expedites the evaporation process, which in turn creates cooling. It's scientifically proven and tested. It's a four-way stretch material as well, so it's much more comfortable. You can wear it, you know, up and around your chin, over your head.
Right.
You don't even know it's there. And lastly, it's 95% recycled materials that go into the CoolNet.
I was looking at it. It's almost like when you pull it a little, stretch it a little bit, it becomes like translucent. So it has that kind of, you can almost sense that it's cool and wicking and provides, you know, just that cooling effect on a summer day.
Definitely. Yet the fibrous makeup of it still provides UPF 50 sun protection, which is the highest rating that a fabric can be qualified as.
Mm. I was just walking your booth with Dina there, and I saw your arm sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in these cool designs. It seemed like a neat way if you wanted to wear like a t-shirt out, but you know, you had to keep some UV protection on your arms, but maybe later in the day you wanted to pull them off and kind of layer them type of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, we're all used to the fishing shirt, and you know, they're great and they breathe really well, but there's nothing like wearing your favorite t-shirt, whether it's cotton or tri-blend, throwing on the UV arm sleeves to protect your arms, and then putting your multifunctional headwear around your neck. It essentially turns it into a fishing shirt immediately, and at the end of the day, shed it off, and you're back to wearing your t-shirt.
Love it, yeah. Yeah, because you might be going out to dinner afterwards or going out with some friends, and you want just the same shirt, you just pull off your arm sleeves.
Yeah, you don't look like a fisherman anymore.
Your line of gloves. Now, how many different style of gloves does Buff make?
Currently, we have 5 different styles. New for 2019, we're adding a 6th style called the Shadow Cast Glove. A nod to the movie The River Runs Through It. We all know about that scene and that part of the movie. It's a half-finger glove, silicone grip, goes a little bit longer up the cuff to protect your upper wrist area, so it mates with your fishing shirt or your arm sleeves really well. They dry extremely quick. They have polygene odor control into them as well, so they don't get stinky like other materials might when you're handling fish.
Right.
And once you get used to them, fly casting, you pick the right size, it's better than fishing without a glove on.
I tried them on, it's like my hand feels, and I'm really particular with gloves. My hands are a little wider, so they're just really comfortable. And they have like that nice, what do you call the...
Just be a silicone grip on the on the palm. And fly fishing, you don't need a lot of grip or any, you know, really durability. The cork grip is pretty soft on the hand as it is.
Right.
And you don't need to reapply sunscreen to your hands when you're wearing those. We all know what sunscreen can do to PVC-coated fly lines.
Exactly.
How it can affect the waters. Hawaii just banned certain types of sunscreen. So the whole point is try to protect yourself with a fabric that's comfortable that you don't even notice that it's there.
And then also the mask, then even it goes down like the balaclava, it kind of goes down underneath your t-shirt. Do you normally wear those under your t-shirt or on top?
I normally wear it underneath.
Underneath,
you know, sometimes the wind might blow it up and it's comfortable and you might get a little breeze underneath, but it's designed to be worn under, whether it's a crew neck shirt or a collared fishing shirt that buttons down in the front. It protects the upper kind of front of your neck area with that type of shirt. And then if you're wearing a crew neck, it protects the back of your neck as well.
Yeah, yeah. And you just see them in all the fishing movies. They look so cool. They've got the headgear. And I even saw the Buff hats.
Yep.
And the matching hats. They're kind of matching the Buff and the neck gear.
Yeah, so we work with some great artists. Derek DeYoung. All fly fishermen know Derek DeYoung.
Sure.
And his great kind of realistic art. And you know, he catches fish, and then he takes tons of pictures of them, and then... you know, kind of puts his own twist on it.
It's amazing.
We just started working with A.D. Maddox, and we work with Guy Harvey and Bug Slinger as well for some great patterns.
And you call that your artist line?
Yeah, it's our artist series.
The artist series, yeah. Really cool. We'll put some pictures up. I know we're talking about all these cool designs, and we're having a podcast here, so what we'll do is we'll add some pictures to the blog, and we'll make it nice so people
see it. Yeah, it's essentially wearable art.
Yeah. And then the last thing I want to talk about is like the lifestyle hats and the trucker hats and just kind of the style right now.
Yeah, I mean, trucker hats are all the rage right now. I don't think they're ever going to go out of style. They're perfect for fishing with the ventilated back, and then you can have any style you want on the front.
You know, it's a type of thing where I just love the product, Casey. I use it a lot. You know, we're always in Buffs. I was just out on the Gunnison River. It got hot down there. It's pretty arid down there in southwest Colorado. And just to be able to have that protection, you can put on that sunscreen, but to know, you know, when that your back of your neck's burning up, all you got to do is pull it up and put it under your hat, That's another thing too, is if you're just wearing like a neck, you just put it under your hat, put your hat back over it.
Yep, you can get it wet. I've used one as a towel before. I jump in a river, you know, freestone stream after fishing. You can wear it 12 or more different ways. We've seen people in a pinch, you know, wipe things up with them, use it as a coffee filter. I mean, you start every day fishing with the multifunctional headwear around your neck.
A coffee filter. Now, I haven't heard that one before. You never know.
You run out.
You never know. I'm a huge coffee guy. Well, listen, Casey, it's been awesome to talk with you. Thank you so much. Thanks for supporting the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast. We're going to be huge supporters of Buff. We're going to be giving these away.
Absolutely.
We just found out we're going to be doing a contest with Buff and a Fish of the Day contest, win a Buff. So just really excited about this. So thank you so much for being on the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast.
Cool. We'll do it again.
Awesome. This is Rob back again with Fly Fishing Journeys. We're very excited to be with Keith Rose Innes, who's the managing director of Alphonse Fishing Company, all the way from the Seychelles. Keith, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
It's been, you know, great to get to know you the last couple days here at IFTD. You're here at the show in Orlando. What is your main function here at the show? What are your goals? What do you like to do here at the show?
We don't really sell here at the show. It's more about sort of getting our brand out there, you know, telling everybody our story. You know, at this current show, we're having meetings with Keep 'em Wet and Bonefish and Tarpon Foundation and various other players, you know, in the industry, and just getting ideas of how we can sort of preserve the outer islands of the Seychelles. Yeah. So one of the most important things is we're a relatively new company, only 7 years old, so we're still getting our brand out there.
Yeah, just been watching a lot of great videos online. You've got some, is it Cosmo?
Yeah, so we've got quite a few online. We've got Cosmo, we've got, we did Chanas with Captain Jack. We've done various other little sort of short movies. You know, we're lucky because the Seychelles are so beautiful, the water's so clean. There's so many fish, so it's easy to make a fishing video.
No, a great video.
Yeah, so people kind of call it like fish porn, but because the water's so beautiful and the species are so bright.
So we have the atolls.
Yeah.
And you're part of four?
So we have four operations, atolls. So we have Alphonse, which is world renowned, and basically from Alphonse you're fishing Bijoutier and Saint-Francois, which are two atolls right next to Alphonse, a short boat ride across, and they've never been developed before. Then we have Cosmolito, which is, we're busy building a lodge there, an eco lodge.
Wow.
And it's only for 10 fishing guests, and it has 21 islands in the atoll.
Unbelievable.
And then we have a stove, and then also a poivre, which is an Inner Pacific Permit fishing destination, which we fish from a liverboard operation.
And we were even talking, this is like the kind of the final frontier, the destination that is on every, I don't know one fly fisherman that doesn't have the Seychelles on their bucket list. I mean, this is someplace you just got to find a way to get to.
Well, yeah, most of the guys have it on their bucket list, and once they get there, they say it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip. It becomes a once-in-a-lifetime annual trip.
So, I love that.
You know, the beauty is that once you get out there and you experience the atolls and, you know, the hard white sand flats, the species which you can catch, the diversity of species, you know, and the beauty, and then we pop a little question to you and inform you about the other destinations that you can fish there.
Wouldn't you mind?
So generally the guys start in Alphonse and end up at Cosmo and Estove and different places. So it is addictive.
So talk to me about the fish, Keith. You get the permit, you have the milkfish,
yeah,
the triggerfish,
yeah, and GTs.
And the giant trevallies.
So we got some of everything. So we obviously have a hell of a lot of bonefish, incredible amounts of bonefish. We catch and release 14,500 bonefish at Alphonse and Saint-Francois every season.
14,500.
Yeah, so it's a stable.
Catch and release. Over 14,000 bonefish a year?
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
And then at our various destinations, we catch more milkfish than all the other lodges in the world put together. We obviously, the first milkfish was caught on fly at Alphonse.
That was the video, right? The movie.
Chanas.
Unbelievable, and he kind of figured out a way to, they eat the
algae, yeah.
The algae,
yeah.
Right? And he used this algae fly to get him to bite.
And the first guy to ever catch him on fly is actually here at the show, on a Matia. So him and another guy, Wayne Haslow, they were the first two guys to do it. They obviously deciphered on how to catch these guys many years ago. But there's various species in the Seychelles that have been figured out how to catch on fly in the Seychelles.
For the first time.
Yeah, the bumphead parrotfish. I was the first guy to get it with the client. There's milkfish, which were caught, you know, first ever on fly. Triggerfish. All those species were figured out. And We're just lucky enough to have them all in one place.
Let's talk, and we can talk for hours, and I do want to do a full-length, full podcast just on Alphonse Fishing, but we're part of the show here, so there'll be multiple exhibitors as part of the podcast.
Yeah.
But I do want to get to how to get there.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, because fly fishing journeys, the whole concept of fly fishing journeys is life is a journey. Fly fishing is a journey. It's all part of the journey. And also to shrink the world. I'm about to go to the Northwest Territories, getting on a plane, Boston to Toronto to Calgary to the Yellowknife, and then into a float plane into our destination.
Yeah.
So it's almost to the Arctic Circle. Mm. So what we're trying to do with fly fishing journeys is shrink the world for people, help them to know you can get there. It's a long trip for sure, and it's an effort to make it. And we're not going to say it's not an effort, but it's so doable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
help us understand how you could do it.
Okay, so it's easy. From the States, there's various airports where you can fly from. Generally, guests will fly from the States straight to Dubai or to South Africa or to Paris or to London. All of them are sort of between 10 and between 9 and 11 hours flying time. And then from those destinations, it's between 4 and 7 hours, depending on where you've flown into. From Dubai, it's a five-hour flight down to Mahé, which is the main island. And once you get to Mahé, you can either overnight in a hotel and fly the next morning to the island, or you can just fly straight out. And it's an hour-long flight from to Alphonse, which is our closest atoll. And then the furthest one is 3 hours.
Okay, so total travel time, we're talking about like 36 hours or?
Well, not necessarily. So if you think about from the States, 17 hours.
That's
18,
less than my
19,
drive.
19 hours.
That's less. I drive 20 hours before I get on a float plane.
Okay.
So, okay, I'm doing it in the air instead of on a car.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Keith, what is the total travel time? How does that work?
So total travel time will be around 20 hours, I suspect, you know. It's a short flight from Dubai, and you can even break the trip and fish in Dubai. You can go and fish for queenfish.
I've seen this.
It's a long way, but it's very doable.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate to have a 65% American audience, and mostly Americans coming out. So it's obviously not too far for them.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you think it's too far, you say it's too far, it's probably too far, right? But if you say, you know what, that's doable, it's quite doable.
Absolutely.
I think it's just a matter of what you want. If you want to make something happen,
you
can make it happen.
Well, the thing is that you also got to understand the places that are close by are often the places that have been fished the most. So it's all about the pressure. So, you know, we're very fortunate that the Seychelles are so far away and was so difficult to get to in the past that it was hardly fished. So these places are very pristine, untouched.
So we talked about the numbers of bonefish. Talk about the permit, because for the permit, that's such an elusive fish for so many people. So even throughout, you know, the States or the islands that they can get to, you know, right quick. But the permit's a tough fish
to
catch. So tell us about the permit fishing in the Seychelles.
So we get the Indo-Pacific permit, which is slightly different to the permit in Atlantic permit. They're very finicky. They are as finicky as, I would say more finicky than the Atlantic permit. We catch them on slightly different patterns. We're fishing them on white sand and hard sand, so smaller patterns. They tend to chase the fly less than an Atlantic permit. But the thing is that, you know, they're really beautiful, and it's the same species. They have the same sort of characters.
Right.
So in past years, we couldn't really advertise permit fishing as a great opportunity because we didn't have the right flies. And over the last 3 years, we developed a pattern of fly called the Al Flexo, which they tend to love. So it's become
good.
It's basically annual catches and quadruple them by about 100.
That's
so
amazing.
So it's made a big difference. So now we're confident in the destinations that we sell that you've got a really good chance of catching a permit in a week.
You got to check that one off your bucket list, right? Because a permit, that's the one you really want to get.
Yeah.
Tell me about the GTs, though, because these things are huge.
Yeah, so the GTs are the most popular. Obviously, everyone comes to the Seychelles wanting to catch a GT because they're the gangsters of the flat. You know, they rock up on their flat. They're not scared of anything. They're not scared of sharks. They're not scared of... They want to eat. So if you can get a fly in front of them and without, you know, leadering them or, you know, they're going to eat it.
Right.
And the beauty about catching GTs is that when you're stripping the fly and they're coming towards the fly, the positioning of their mouths below their eyes, it almost as if they look you in the face before they eat the fly, because what they do is their eyes dilate, they hook onto their fly and they start chasing it. When they just about to eat it, because the fly is in the shallow water of water column, the eyes come out the water. So it's almost as if they're looking at you in the eyes. So it's quite.
And you experience that as a fly caster.
Absolutely. And most guests, if the fish comes close when it's chasing the fly, they tend to make a mistake.
Strip a little
pull the fly
quick.
Out or yeah.
Get nervous. Yeah,
you get nervous.
But hey, you learn and you grow. I mean, absolutely. That's what it's all about. That's so and then tell me about the experience at the lodge before we close.
Okay, so we've got various lodges, obviously. So the variety is obviously different in different places, and so anything from a liverboard to a 8-key or room lodge on Cosmolito, all the way to a resort in Alphonse. So the beauty about the Alphonse, it has a resort. We have all the amenities and everything for taking care of families and people there. We have a spa and all that kind of stuff. So it's quite a large little hotel. But the beauty is that you're not fishing that atoll. You're fishing the two atolls right next to it,
wow.
Which are uninhabited. So it's almost like a reserve. It's a sanctuary for...
It's like your own private island.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. It's spectacular.
And you fish out of flats boats, you wade both?
Yeah. So basically all movement is done in flats boats. But when you get to the destination, unless you're fishing for milkfish, it's on foot. Okay. So all the bone fishing, all the GTs, all on foot. And the only time we're fishing out of the boats is when we're fishing offshore for milkfish, or if we, if the tide's in and there's nowhere to fish, or we fish from the boat, doing some drifts for GTs and so forth. So it's sight fishing.
Okay, sign me up.
Yeah, good. When you're coming.
I'm coming.
Yeah.
So this has been a great time, Keith. I appreciate it. Now, how can... Our guest, now you work with some travel agents.
Yes.
Tell us about your travel agents.
So there's quite a few travel agents in the States. So obviously Yellow Dog, Urban Angler, Frontier, all those agents. If you speak to your preferred agent, he probably books us. So
yep, that's great.
Just ask them.
So get with your preferred agent, Yellow Dog or Urban Angler or the Fly Rod Shop.
Or Frontiers.
Frontiers.
Yeah, so whoever you like.
Lots of options.
Lots
and people
options.
Can come to your website to kind of do some research and get...
Absolutely.
All fired up, and that website is?
www.alphonsefishingcompany.com.
Keith, it's been my pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I am very excited to bring to you guys here on the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast an incredibly innovative product that, you know, part of what we do with Fly Fishing Journeys is we fish ahead, we go ahead, we walk ahead. And through some research that I did at the Suffren New York show, not even a fly fishing show, but I walked the booth, I walked the trade show, and I came across an incredible product that I'm so excited to talk to you guys about tonight. It's the Deeper Sonar. It's the most innovative sonar that you could absolutely imagine because it works with your iPad or your iPhone, and wait till I tell you guys about this product here today. I'm very happy to be with Ignis Lutkis from Deeper, and he's laughing at me because I butchered his name, but he's an incredible guy, and just the relationship that we're gonna build between Fly Fishing Journeys and Deeper is gonna be great for you guys, because this is something that if you are a stillwater fisherman, if you have a canoe, or if you have a boat, and you fish anywhere in a lake or a pond, you gotta wanna know about this. So please welcome to our podcast, Ignis. It's great to talk to you.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for your time. Yeah, actually what Rob mentioned, it's all true. We are probably the most innovative sonar in the market currently. And we started actually 4 years ago. So the history behind the Deeper Sonar is that two avid anglers are actually founders. They wanted to create some kind of sonar for them. To be able to see what is happening under the water casting from the shore. Therefore, they came up with this solution, sonar without wires. So it connects wireless. And the first sonar, the initial model, was brought up 4 years ago. And since then, we just were able to increase our outputs twice every single year.
Guys, I have to jump in here because you have to understand what this product is. I wish I could show it to you. We'll be putting pictures on the website for sure. But it's a snowball. Think of
Correct.
Making a snowball
Correct.
And putting it in your hands, and that is your sonar.
Correct.
It's probably 3 inches across, straight round, hard plastic with all the guts and all the technical stuff inside.
That's right. And the best part is the weight. It weighs only like 3 ounces.
3 ounces.
That's all you need.
And it's wireless to your iPhone or your tablet.
And any other
Android.
Device. Yeah, any other device. It doesn't matter. It should have only Wi-Fi capabilities. That's it. And the best part, you don't need any cell phone service. You can go as remotely as you want because this little device, it creates its own Wi-Fi.
That's amazing. And I've used it and I love it. And just the incredible pictures you get. I'm using mine on my tablet. I have a mini.
Correct.
7 inches. And I bought a waterproof case for my tablet that has a little strapping around it.
Okay.
So I just put it right around my neck. And I look at it and it just runs a sonar.
Exactly.
Off of a 3 ounce ball.
Exactly.
Wirelessly.
Exactly.
If you have a boat, if you have a canoe, I don't care if you're a fly fisherman or you're a spin fish, whatever fisherman you are, if you like to catch fish in a lake or a pond, this is a tool that you want to own. And before we get into how awesome the tool is, I want to get the price out there because I think it just adds to how amazing this whole package is. Let's talk about all the way to the top. Now you have a Deeper Pro Plus.
That's
right. Your top end product with all the bells and whistles. I'm a tech guy.
Okay.
I like every bell
okay.
and whistle.
Okay.
How much is that bad boy?
So this little guy, our top-notch model is only like $239.
$239, $239.
Yeah.
And you
exactly.
are pinging the bottom of the lake.
And you can go for ice fishing, as you said, kayak fishing, shore fishing, basically you name it.
Shore fishing. Tell shore people fishing. Why you can use this from shore. If you don't have a boat, but you like to fish from the shore, what can you do with this thing?
So it's really simple. You just attach to your line and you cast it out.
You cast it?
Yeah, because it floats. It floats. So you're not able to lose that. And once you reel back, it creates your underwater structure map. So you're able to relive all this history going back home, turning your PC, because everything goes on cloud. And you're able to access all this data whenever you are.
People are pulling over in their car right now, Googling Deeper Sonar. I'm telling you.
So.
This
I
is like
so.
The coolest thing. I'm so happy. And I'm actually taking it to the Northwest Territories.
That's right.
Two weeks. Right.
So could you tell us about this trip?
This trip, okay. So I'm going up to Almar Lake Lodge.
All right.
Okay, and I'm going from Boston to Toronto, Toronto to Calgary, Calgary to Yellowknife. Those are all by
Crazy.
Big jets or small jets. Then in Yellowknife, I pick up a float plane and I fly another hour and a half northeast. I'm almost at Nunavut, almost at the Arctic Circle.
Insane.
And I'm bringing a 3 ounce sonar that I'm gonna map the lakes in the areas that I'm fishing with my iPad.
And you mentioned a good point, Rob, like if you would be going with a classical sonar, you would need to carry that how many kilometers?
A big transducer.
Big transducer. It weighs a lot, it creates a lot of hassle, and with this little guy, you just put it in your pocket and you're good to go.
It has a really cool, okay, can I say it's really cool neoprene pouch?
You could say that.
This is the coolest neoprene pouch that it fits in. It has this hook or attachment. It's an attaching hook.
Yeah.
And you could put it right on a strap, your waders,
correct.
Your belt.
Correct.
It could fit in your fly pack. It could fit in your vest, your sling.
In your tackle box.
It could fit anywhere. I mean, I can't believe how small this is, and I'm just loving using it. Now, you also have a couple other models. You have the regular Deeper.
That's right.
Right? And then you also have this new, you've introduced it this year.
Deeper Start.
Deeper Start?
Correct.
So it's kind of like the introductory model to your other, and it's similar. It has more of a trapezoidal shape. Still floats.
Still floats.
It has this neon orange so you can fish it at night.
Correct.
You can cast it.
You can cast it.
Put it off the side of your boat?
Yeah.
Okay, and what is the price of that?
So, as you mentioned, Rob, yeah, this is like an entry level model, and we thought the majority of the people like moving away from the outdoors. This is the tendency what we see, and lots of younger kids, younger generation, they don't want to go outside. They don't want to spend time outdoors and especially fishing. So what we thought, we came up with this idea, maybe we could bring the technology to them, and we created this sonar. Little guy, Deeper Start, so families, kids could use that, and they spend time outdoors, and they still play with their smartphones. They still see what is happening, but they're spending time outdoors. So this deeper start is only like $129 retail.
Unbelievable. $129, and you're still getting the app. You can download the app from
It's totally free.
Free app, Google Play Store or the Apple App Store.
That's right.
You get this interactive map of what the sonar is reading on the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about what it reads. Like, what is it picking up? What are you seeing on the software?
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, so it depends on the deeper start or whether you have Pro Series or deeper start. But all of those models, it show like bottom structure.
Right.
It shows your depth. And it shows you a fish. It identifies fish. If you are an avid angler and you want to upgrade and want to see more, so I would suggest to use Pro Series. Pro Series, it gives you much more advanced view. You can see vegetation, bottom structure, temperature, depth, pretty much everything.
Water temperature.
Yeah, everything, everything.
That'd be really important for a fly fisherman.
Correct.
Especially
correct.
When the hatches are happening or
correct.
When the fish are eating.
Correct.
You're getting all your water temperature right off your
yeah.
little 3-inch,
yeah.
3-ounce
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
sonar.
Yeah. And what I like to do, I usually try to look for the underwater structure. Nice
okay.
drop-off
okay.
or some vegetation. And there I try to target my predators. I am predator fisherman. So, yeah.
We know, with a big pike.
Yeah, big pike.
But
big
you know pike. What a fly fisherman would be interested in? A deep spring hole. So a deep hole, a drop
exactly.
off in a cooling of the water.
Yeah, yeah.
When
yeah.
they see the deep hole, the drop off, and then the water temperature go down, they know they're in a spring hole.
That would be a good spot.
And it would be a great spot to catch some fish. So I really love this product. What I want to do is I want to circle back and
right.
I want to do a longer podcast just about Deeper, because as you know, we're mixing in some of the other exhibitors. It's the trade show version.
It's really busy, but
yeah.
it's good.
It's a great
good.
Show. And how has the show been going for you? What is the purpose of the show for you? What are you looking to do here?
So this is our fourth time NICAST.
Yep.
And we have lots of meetings here, lots of contacts, just to keep in touch with the industry,
yep.
trying to check what's new. And basically just having some good time.
Yeah, good
yeah.
time, good
meeting
relationships,
all,
networking.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
I understand your product is now in Dick's Sporting Goods?
Correct.
That is phenomenal.
Correct.
Is it certain Dick's? Is it all of Dick's nationwide? How does it work?
Basically, it's nationwide.
Nationwide.
Yeah, so what you can do, you can go to our webpage, deepersonar.com,
yep.
and there you can check all the stores which carry Deeper Sonar. So you
okay.
can go to the closest one.
Yep.
And go to the sales rep, ask questions. They will definitely be glad to help you.
I am so looking forward to taking this thing up to the Northwest Territories. We're also going to be taking up to Quebec.
Correct.
We're going to be doing some viewing, mapping of the lake. That's one thing I've always wanted to do up at Lake Boyer, our camp in Quebec, is I wanted to map the bottom of the lake.
And
yeah. you showed me how to do that today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. Just need to use a boat. Boat mode?
Boat mode.
Yeah. So, as we said, there are several applicabilities for Deeper Sonar. You can use it for ice fishing, for boat, for shore, and every single fishing method has its own mode, our application mode. So, you mentioned a good point. You will go really, really remotely, and there nobody probably has mapped those lakes.
Not the bottoms.
Not the bottoms. So, with this little guy, you can go there and map it.
So I can run my grids, I can come back after dinner, and we can look through the iPad and look at the whole lake.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can't wait. It's been a great time. Thank you for being on our podcast, Ignis.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, appreciate
Thanks.
It. All right, this is Rob with Fly Fishing Journeys, and I'm very honored to be here with Nick Roberts of the Bonefish Tarp and Trust. We're going to have a great conversation on the projects they're working on and the conservation that they're doing. And as I was just telling Nick, first of all, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and for the opportunity. This
yeah,
is great.
It's great. So I was just saying, somebody asked me of the Bonefish Tarp and Trust. Are you a member? You know, it's been on my mind, and I actually had went to the website recently to check it out. And I'm a member of TU. I'm a
mm-hmm.
member of Fly Fishing, Fly Fishers International. Actually, it was a point of mine. I was glad you guys were actually taking subscriptions here at IFTD because I became a member.
Thank
and
you.
And I'm in full support of everything that you guys are doing with the Bonefish Tarpon Trust. So Why don't you give our listeners just a brief overview of the company?
So Bonefish Tarpon Trust is a science-driven conservation organization. We were founded 20 years ago. This is our 20th anniversary this year. We were founded in response to the declining bonefish populations in the Florida Keys. But since that time, we've expanded beyond Florida into the Bahamas. We're also working in Mexico, Belize, and Cuba as well.
What is the core mission? You said they're obviously in response to the declining bonefish. Is there, not that we need it word for word, but what is the overall mission of the Bonefish Tarpon Trust?
So the overall mission of BTT is to conserve bonefish tarpon permit and their habitats. So wherever those fish live, we want to be working on habitat protection, restoration projects, and then also working on other conservation measures for those three species. So
awesome.
We also expanded about 12 years ago or so to include permit. Kind of those consider the holy grail of, you know, flats angling. We got the permit in there too.
Yes,
so.
Please conserve as many permit as
possible. Exactly. Yeah,
they're hard enough to catch.
They are sticklers, man. Yeah.
What does that look like in day to day for you guys? Like, what are some of the projects? Like, how do you conserve and protect the?
So we're based in Coral Gables, Florida, which is Miami, and then we also have scientists spread out at different locations that are in the field. So where I work in Miami, that's kind of our home base. For development, marketing, communications, all the administrative stuff. And then we have scientists on the east coast of Florida, west coast of Florida, Bahamas, and then we also give grants out to scientists at universities.
Wow.
So we're engaged right now in 26 different research projects.
Wow.
So we farm a lot of those out to our colleagues at universities that contribute research as well.
Would you be able to share an example of what a project
sure.
would look like for a BTT?
Yep. So one of our biggest projects right now is tarpon acoustic tagging. So we are basically tagging tarpon to see where they go and when. And with the new acoustic telemetry that we're tagging them with, acoustic transmitters, we can track them for up to 5 years. So we can really see. As opposed to the older tags, I'll just give a brief background. So the older tags, they had satellite tags that were mounted outside the body, and they lasted about a year. They fell off. They were super expensive. So what we do now is implant a little acoustic transmitter in the body cavity. It's simple surgery. It's about, in a big tarpon, it's about 2D batteries put together, small little thing and a 100-pound fish. Those last for 5 years is the battery life. And whenever that fish swims past an acoustic receiver, which is set throughout the coast of Florida, all around up the Atlantic seaboard, it sends a unique ping. And those receivers, there's a whole network that we have our own, but we also share data and receive data from other collaborating scientists and organizations. So whenever, you know, fish X swims by these receivers on its way up to the Chesapeake Bay, say in May, it pings them. So
wow.
we can study that fish for 5 years, its whole migration pathway. And that gives us a lot more data than the more old school 1 year satellite
That's
tags.
That's incredible.
So what we're doing with that data is we're learning the life cycle of tarpon, where they're going when. We're also seeing that some fish will travel a very long distance every year and some won't leave. They're homebodies.
Okay.
And then the newest news on that is we're expanding into Texas.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be studying the Gulf's population of tarpon as well with that same technology.
And that's probably a whole different
yep.
ecosphere.
Yep.
With the different mm-hmm. boating that goes on there,
yep.
oil,
yep.
rigs.
Yeah, there's a whole, it's a whole new fishery for us to learn about and also see ways in which that fishery may be connected to the west coast of Florida through tarpon migration. And
that'll be awesome.
Yeah, so that's going to be big. That's probably going to launch this coming year. So
fantastic. And as far as a member,
mm-hmm.
what would be, obviously, the donation and being part of, you know,
sure.
contributing to BTT with, it was only 35 bucks to show. What is a normal?
Yep, so memberships range from $35 on up to pretty much as high as you want to go. We have everything listed at btt.org, easy address to remember. So we're a membership funded organization. Our members play an integral part in how we work. Our members are also very passionate, not just anglers, but conservationists. So you don't have to be a fly fisher or even a fisher to join the organization.
Sure.
We're all about protecting the coastal habitats, and the fish are kind of symbolic of those flats habitats. So
sure.
even if you only bonefish once every 5 years, we'd still love to have you join and contribute.
Well, it's important to know that they're there and
exactly.
that we are protecting them.
Yep.
I mean, that's an incredible species, and all species are incredible.
Yep.
But we do need to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of protection, can you just maybe lightly touch on some of the different, I guess, a political hot potato right now with
mm-hmm.
what's going on around Florida when it comes to maybe sugar and nutrients or pesticides going into the water? Because I know that's a big conversation right now.
Yeah, so a lot of our work in we have a campaign called Fix Our Water, and you can learn more about that at www.btt.org/fixourwater. And BTT favors the construction of the reservoir south of Lake Okeechobee, and the idea is that will alleviate some of the discharges going to the east and west of the state and help restore natural flow, southern flow, through the Everglades to Florida Bay. So right now, what's happening is Florida Bay is high in salinity, it's hypersaline, whereas the east and west coast of Florida have too much fresh water. So you can think of it kind of as a plumbing problem, and the Everglades needs to let the water flow south, and right now it's being choked off by how Lake Okeechobee is being managed.
And it's a management issue. It's
physical
interaction by humans?
Yep. So it's based on discharges from Lake Okeechobee and the management of the lake levels. And when you have imbalances in the water, like hypersaline, which is too salty, versus too much fresh water, that causes all sorts of imbalances, which causes algae blooms, you know, contributes to red tide, causes fish kills, and once you get into that, it just spirals out of control.
Well,
so,
here's the thing.
Yeah.
I've heard all three of those mentioned by guides
yep.
around Florida.
Yep.
Algae bloom, fish kill, red tide.
Yep.
And that's lowering the quality of fisheries that is available to our population.
Yeah, Florida is the economy of Florida is heavily based on tourism, fishing, you know, anything, snorkeling, surfing, all that stuff. It doesn't matter if you're an angler or not, but no one wants to get into polluted water that is now making people sick in parts of Florida
right.
just from being exposed to it. So it's definitely a dire situation, and it's been a problem for years, and we're hoping to finally make some progress with the construction of this new reservoir that'll help
sure.
clean the water as it goes south.
So just the overall website, people can go and check it out and learn more about everything that the BTT is doing?
Yep, www.btt.org.
Nick, thanks so much for being on the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast. It's been great to have you and learn about all the projects that you guys got going on. I recommend that everyone goes to the website, becomes a member. You can sign mm-hmm. up right online.
Yep. So you can sign up right online, and we have some great member benefits from Yeti, Patagonia, Orvis, and
yeah.
a lot of our great sponsors.
And for $35, you're contributing
yep.
to an amazing cause. So thanks
yep.
again, Nick.
Thanks, Rob.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher and follow us on Facebook. And please like and share our podcast with your friends. For past episodes or to read our journal blog posts, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you are on this journey with us.